Great. So we're in the Old Testament. We're in Psalm 1. So Psalm chapter 1. I don't have a page number because I've got my own Bible. Anyone got the page number for the church Bible? 543 and Psalm 1. Let's read Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgments, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. We're going to be looking at today. Why don't we pray for us and ask God's help for us as we look at that today. But let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, would you help us to delight in hearing it? Help us to have our ears opened to really take it to heart what you've been saying. And help us to ponder what you say to us so that it sinks deep down and changes us from within. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know all of you in this room. I know some of you in this room, but I don't know all of you. I can say one thing for certain, that all of us share a similar desire. And that similar desire is to be happy. That's true for me. I'm sure no one in this room wants to be unhappy. I'm sure most people, all people here, would want to be happy. But what does that happy life look like? What does it look like? Or to put it another way, to put it a Bible way, what does the blessed life look like? If you go on social media, you won't have to spend too much time scrolling through Twitter or Instagram to see posts about what they think the blessed life looks like. You know, hashtag blessed is a big thing on social media, if you're on social media. The word blessed is actually a biblical word, but on social media it's been stripped away from any biblical connection. And today, when someone who maybe isn't a Christian writes hashtag blessed on an Instagram post or on a tweet, for the most part I think they mean lucky. I think that's what they mean. There's no sort of Godward thought about that. But usually hashtag blessed accompanies a picture of like a Starbucks latte, or being accepted to university, or a stunning sunset. That's normally, if you looked at it on Instagram, what happens, what's posted. And that is how the world around us defines the happy life, the blessed life. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we do scroll through social media, some of us will, some of us won't, but if we do scroll through social media, then there are times as Christians when our hearts are drawn to those pictures. And it's useful for us to name that. It's useful, you know, even I, as I scroll through social media, they look good, don't they? Our hearts are drawn to them sometimes. You know, as we go through the stunning sunsets, the mouth-watering food, the educational sporting achievements, it does look like they're living the happy life, the hashtag blessed life, doesn't it? It feels like, it looks like that. However, just imagine the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God had a Twitter account or an Instagram account. And just imagine he posted some things with pictures with that hashtag blessed hashtag. What would those pictures look like? And surely, as we look at those pictures, we want to take notice. Because if anyone knows how to live a blessed life, a happy life, surely it's the creator and lover of us, the God who knows us, who loves us, who created us. And so all of us want to live a happy life. All of us want to live that hashtag blessed life. And God of the Bible is going to tell us how we can do that. So first, the blessed life is found in Jesus, verses 1 to 3. The blessed life is found in Jesus, verses 1 to 3. And we've spoken a lot about that word blessed, and we've said that social media has stripped away the biblical meaning and transformed it into meaning lucky. That's what people would say outside of church. However, that's not what the Bible means by blessed. Put simply, the biblical meaning of the word blessed is, you know, favoured by God. It's to have God's favour poured out on your life. Other ways of translating it is, envied is the person who lives that life. It's the life that's held up as an example and say, this is the best life, the blessed life, blessed by God. Life favoured by God, that is where true happiness, where true blessing comes from. And the initial pictures on God's social media account show what this blessed life avoids. Because the person leading the blessed life lives out of step with the world around. Have a look at verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Now when we hear that word, wicked, some of us will think of someone who's committed heinous crimes, someone who's really bad. However, the Bible definition of the word wicked is anyone who lives their life in rebellion against God. That's what it means. And so the person living the blessed life doesn't fall in line with the wicked. They don't go with the flow. They walk out of step with the wicked. It's noticeable what they don't do. Well, next, the person leading the blessed life takes a different way of life. So let's have a look at verse 1 as we carry on. Blessed is the one who does not stand in the way that sinners take. And next, the person leading the blessed life does not join in with those who mock faith in God. Have a look at how verse 1 ends. Yeah, blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. And I wonder whether you notice the progression from walking to standing to sitting. And it's the idea of getting more and more entrenched in an anti-God life. And so the one who walks slows down to stand, and then the one who stands slows down to sit. And I guess one of the lessons perhaps we need to learn, we need to be careful about who we walk with, the way we walk our lives. It's really important. But in contrast, the blessed life is found in delighting in God's word. Have a look at verse 2. But the blessed one, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So on God's Instagram feed, there's a picture of someone with an open Bible on their lap, and they're reading it with a smile of delight on their face, and underneath, God has written hashtag blessed. Now, you don't see that often on Twitter, do you? You don't see that often on Instagram. And they don't just read the Bible. They chew it over in their minds throughout the day. That's what verse 2 says towards the end. And who meditates on God's law day and night. So meditation exists in other religions. It usually involves trying to enter your mind of all things. But Christian meditation is the opposite. Instead of emptying our minds, we are to fill our minds with what God says, with God's thoughts from his word. So I'm not a massive Hebrew scholar, but I've read somewhere else that the word to meditate means to mutter or to read in an undertone, to sort of mutter to yourself, you know, God's word. So to meditate in the Bible is to read it out loud, maybe to speak it to ourselves, to ponder its meaning, to turn it over in our heads. When I sit down to eat a meal, I've got a bad habit of finishing quickly. You know, I may chew the food a couple of times and I swallow it, and it's gone very quickly. Unfortunately, my mum used to call me the human dustbin, so that gives you an insight of what it's like as a kid. But sometimes that is how we read the Bible. A quick glance in the morning, not much mental chewing over it, and it's gone as we rush into the day, whether that's school or work or whatever. But to meditate on God's word is to slow down, to chew it over in our minds. It's the equivalent of chewing each mouthful 20 times, to appreciate the flavours, to get the nutrients out of the food, rather than being a human dustbin. So the video on God's Instagram feed was someone reading a passage of the Bible out loud, slowly, carefully. Sometimes reading out loud is helpful rather than just reading in our heads. It helps us to hear God's word. And then stopping and thinking about it and saying, I wonder what this verse means. I wonder how this applies to my life. And underneath, God writes, #bless. Now, you might be thinking, that doesn't sound much of a blessed life, because if you saw two pictures on Instagram, one of a stunning sunset and one reading someone else reading the Bible, then I think some of us at times would naturally think the blessed life is captured in the sunset. And those are times when I would think that as well. I'm a pastor of a church, so if I think that sometimes, I'm sure other people think that. So how is delighting in God's word, how is chewing it over, meditating on it, the blessed life? Well, the answer lies in where it leads. Because you see, the mind is the steering wheel of the life. What we fill our minds with will set the direction of our lives. Because the sunset, beautiful though it is, it's gone in a flash, isn't it? But the one who delights in God's word will experience something much more enduring. Have a look at verse 3. That person, the blessed person, is it like a tree planted by streams of water. I just picked one of those trees in Enfield Town by the new river, which I've discovered is neither new nor a river, but that's, you know, another story. But that tree has been there for decades. Those trees along the line seem to be there for decades. They're strong. They're firm. They endure, don't they? They draw life-giving water from the nearby river. Verse 3, which yields its fruit in season. That tree, or those trees along that river, are fruitful. When summer comes, they're alive with leaves. You know, I don't know whether they're particularly fruit trees, but you know, the fruit comes. Verse 3, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do, prospers. So when the scorching summers come, as allegedly we're going to experience a little bit more over the years, the tree's leaf do not wither. The tree is sturdy. It stands the test of time. And underneath the picture of a tree by streams of water, God types #blessed. Now, isn't that the life that we want? A fruitful life, a life with meaning, a life that is sturdy and strong, an enduring life. You know, sunsets are beautiful, but they're gone in seconds. It might look like that the sunset is the #blessed life, but it's temporary. Surely the real blessed life is the one that endures, the one that gives fruit to others. However, there's a problem, because if we're Christians, we'll read verses 1 to 3 and automatically think they're describing us. And that's a problem, because if you're honest with yourselves, have we ever taken a path that leads away from God? I don't think we have. If we're honest with ourselves, have we always read our Bibles every day, morning and evening, and got joy and delight out of them? I don't think that we have. I haven't. I don't think anyone in this room has done all that every day, you know, all the time. Because these verses aren't primarily describing us. But these verses are describing Jesus of Nazareth. Can't you see it? Because never once in his 33 years of life here on earth did Jesus walk in step with the wicked. Never once. He did not chase after money. He did not abuse or manipulate people. He did not seek power to dominate others. Every day he opened the Old Testament scriptures and delighted in his Heavenly Father's laws, because he knew they were life-giving. And from his meditation on the Old Testament scriptures, Jesus became that enduring, that life-giving tree that produces fruit for us to eat and enjoy and benefit. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. 2,000 years later, he's still giving life and sustaining life. And Christians have eternal life through him. Surely that's the blessed life, the life that Jesus led. And although the description of the person in verses 1 to 3 is primarily about Jesus, it can also describe us if we are Christians, if we are in Jesus. Because we cannot live this blessed life that's outlined in verses 1 to 3 on our own. Because we don't have the power. We can't do it by ourselves. However, Jesus empowers us to live it by the power that he has. He's able to live it. And anyone in Jesus is also able to live it. Let me try and illustrate it this way. I can't run 70 miles an hour. It's impossible for me to do so. It's impossible for you on your own, without Jesus, to live out verses 1 to 3. But if I get into my car and head out, maybe not to M25, you probably won't get 70 miles an hour on the car park in M25, but the M1, if we get into M1, I can travel 70 miles an hour. Now, how is that? Because I'm in the car. The car has the power to get me to 70 miles an hour. And Jesus is able to live this blessed life. And left to themselves, we do not have the power to do it. But when someone becomes a Christian, they are included in Jesus. To continue the illustration, it's a bit like getting into the car. And once in Jesus, he empowers them to live that blessed life. So as Christians, we could read verses 1 to 3 and feel really burdened and guilty as we think of the ways in which we haven't lived like this. The ways in which we have walked in the step with the wicked. The days and weeks where we've not opened our Bibles, let alone meditated on them or delighted in God's word. But the good news of the gospel is that verses 1 to 3 aren't saying try harder to weary and burn people. Rather, they're saying Jesus did it and he can empower you to live that blessed life because you are in him. And perhaps the first response we should be making as Christians to these verses is to pray that the Lord Jesus would empower us not to walk in step with the wicked. Do we do that? As we go into each day, do we pray that the Lord Jesus would help us not to walk in step with the wicked? And when temptation comes, are we praying for help? The Lord Jesus, who resisted all temptation, he never sinned. Can I be honest with you? There are times when reading the Bible is hard work. A few months ago, I was reading through Isaiah in my quiet times, and chapters 1 to 39 are a slog. Let me be honest, I find them hard. It hasn't always been delightful. But if that's your experience of reading the Bible, are you praying to the one who always delighted in God's word? Are you praying something like this? Oh, Lord Jesus, please bring me joy and delight as I read your word this morning. Help me to think about it. Help me to meditate on it. Help me to chew it over, to turn it over in my head. And prayer to the Lord Jesus to empower us to live this life is so vital. But it's not the only thing. It's not just that we ask Jesus and then sit back. But we need to put the effort in ourselves. So living the hashtag blessed life isn't like sitting in the back of one of those rickshaws in the centre of London as someone else pedals and we put in no effort. It's not like that. And living the hashtag blessed life is not like being alone on a bike and cycling up one of those grueling hills in the Tour de France, being shouted at by your coach to ride faster and harder and longer. It's not all down to us because we can't do it in our own strength. Rather, living the hashtag blessed life is like being on a tandem and cycling hard with Olympic and Commonwealth gold medalist Laura Kenny cycling hard behind you. We work hard, but the Lord Jesus empowers us to do it. So the blessed life is found in Jesus. Second, apart from Jesus, there's only destruction, verses 4 to 6. So even now, we might not be convinced that the life described in 1 to 3 is particularly the blessed life, the happy life. Because we are so drawn to things we can touch and see and taste and feel. And as Christians, there'll be times when the blessed life doesn't feel like that. And instead, the Instagram posts or people, friends who aren't Christians living a lifestyle that are attractive. Let's be open about those things. That's true. That sometimes we are attracted by other ways of living, aren't we? And perhaps you're looking into Christianity and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm living quite a nice life at the moment. I've got good friends, a loving family. I've got hobbies I enjoy. Why do I need Jesus and Christianity to live the happy life, the blessed life? Well, what does God say to us when worldly lifestyles look far more attractive than the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus? And God says to us, Look at how it ends. Look at how it ends. Verse 4. Well, the end of verse 3. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. Not so those who live in rebellion against God. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Worldly lifestyles may look satisfying, but they are husks of a life. They are insubstantial. They are like chaff that's blown away. So back in Old Testament times, I'm not much of a farmer, but back in Old Testament times, when you harvested the crops, you needed to thresh them. So you'd harvest like grain or barley. And so the Jews would have built threshing floors on top of hills so they'd catch the wind. And so you bring the crops to the threshing floor. You get take something heavy and you hit the crops to thresh them. And that would separate the grain from the husk. And then you take a pitchfork and you throw it up into the air. And then what happened was that the heavier grain would fall to the ground, but the husk would be blown away, the chaff would be blown away by the wind. And so the chaff was the dead, the useless part of the harvesting. And that is what it's like living without God. It may look good on the outside, but it's insubstantial. And the end result, playing the tape to the end, is what happens in verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgments, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And so the Bible repeatedly tells us that God has a date on his heavenly calendar labeled Judgment Day. And he intends to bring all evil to justice and to judge it. And as we get into the New Testament, God gives a bit more detail about Judgment Day. He says that he's appointed Jesus as the judge. And everyone will have to appear before Jesus to give an account for how they've lived. And Judge Jesus will then pass sentence. And so if you're looking into the Christian faith, you may remain unconvinced about that. You may think, well, I know the Bible says there's a judgment at the end of time, but it could say anything. That's just words. Where's the evidence? Give me some evidence to believe that. And thankfully, God has not left us without evidence. So let me read a verse from the New Testament book of Acts. This is, if you wanted to note it down, it's Acts 17, verse 31. For he, that's God the Father, has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. That's Jesus. He has given proof of this to everyone, including us, by raising Jesus from the dead. And so if you are looking into the Christian faith and you want some evidence that Judgment Day is coming and Judge Jesus will be presiding over that, then the evidence is found in the resurrection of Jesus. Because if you investigate the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus and see that he's risen again from the dead, then that shows that he is who he says he is, and he is God's judge, who will judge at the end of time. And the reason it's urgent to get right with God before Judgment Day is because on that day, the wind of God's judgment will sweep over all of humanity. And the righteous, not the people who've lived good lives, but those who have faith in Jesus, who've been forgiven by Jesus, will stand. But the wicked, those who do not love Jesus, who have been rebels against God, will be blown away to everlasting ruin. That's what it's saying. On Judgment Day, trees will stand, chaff will be blown away. And so why will the righteous stand? Why will the wicked be blown away? Well, the answer is in verse 6. For, here's the because, here's the reason the righteous will stand, but the wicked will be blown away. For, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And so like an aircraft traffic controller at Heathrow who guides planes safely into the land, the Lord God watches over the life of the righteous, guiding them safely into land, guiding them safely home into the new heavens and new earth. And the really sad thing about verse 6 is that there's no one watching over the way of the wicked. That's a scary thing. There's no one watching over the wicked. God does not watch over the way of the wicked. He doesn't intervene to try and correct them. Instead, their path leads to destruction. And so if we're Christians, there will be times when we find those worldly lifestyles attractive. Those people we live amongst, our neighbours, our families, our friends, who aren't Christians. And if our hearts think that those lifestyles are the blessed lifestyle, the happy lifestyle, then God's antidote to that, God's answer to that is, fast forward the tape, look at how the story ends. It ends with destruction, it ends with being swept away in God's whirlwind of judgment. Let that turn us away from those times when we're tempted to walk in step with the wicked. You may not be a Christian, but you do know a lot about the Bible. Maybe you've been coming along for a number of weeks here to Bury Street. You believe that Jesus lived, and he was who claimed to be the Son of God. If that is you, then you need to urgently repent, because you've seen where, hopefully from Psalm 1, where your current lifestyle leads to. It leads to destruction. And you need to stop walking in the way of sinners, or standing in the way that sinners take, or sitting in the seat of mockers, and change to the way of the righteous. And the only way you can do that, the only way that any Christian here in this building is righteous, is to ask Jesus to bear the cost for your sins, to bear the cost for your rebellion, saying no to God and yes to yourself, and to say, Jesus, you are in charge of my life. Please forgive my sins. I'm going to live with you in charge. That is how someone comes from someone who's wicked, someone who rebels against God, to someone who's righteous. Righteous people, Christians, aren't goody two-shoes. Righteous people are just forgiven people. If you want to do that this morning, or you wanted to chat through the evidence of the resurrection, why not talk to a Christian friend who brought you? Why not talk to Veman or myself? It is urgent. Apart from Jesus, there is only destruction. We're all looking for the happy life, aren't we? We're all looking for the blessed life. And God has been so generous to us because he has spoken in his word to show us where that blessed life is found. It's found in looking at the life of Jesus. That is the blessed life. Would people be talking about my life 2,000 years time? No. But we're talking about the Lord Jesus' life 2,000 years time. If you are a Christian and you're seeking to live that blessed life, then perhaps you've been reminded that you can't do it alone. So that might mean praying more prayers of dependence of, Lord Jesus, please help me to. Or perhaps you're a Christian and maybe you never said this to anyone, but your heart has been drawn away towards looking at a lifestyle which is not walking in step with God's plan, maybe walking in step with the wicked. And you've been noticing that you're beginning to start adopting that lifestyle, maybe walking in step with the wicked. Can I encourage you, play the tape to the end, seeing where it ends. Ends doesn't end good, ends in destruction. And so don't go there. So whatever God has been saying to you today, why don't we pray for us? And I'm going to hand back to Veeam and ask that, why don't we pray? Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want us to live that blessed life, that happy life, a life favoured by you. Please would you help us see that the life Jesus led was the blessed life, the fruitful life, the life that is to be envied and copied and wanted. Father, would you help our hearts to be drawn to his fruitful, enduring life. Help us to desire to live that way. And Father, thank you that you know we can't live that way by ourselves. And so would you empower us to, through the Lord Jesus, to live that way that this week, not to walk in step with the wicked, not to stand in the way that sinners take, not to sit in the seat of mockers, but instead to meditate on your word. And we want to pray all these things in Jesus' name, who gives us the power to live his way. Amen.